the Kaiser Family Foundation had a survey of voters all in red states, states that have not expanded Medicaid. And about two-thirds of the voters said leaders should extend coverage to hundreds of thousands more. And if you look back at that poll over the years, that is the highest number in favor that had ever hit.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, as more voters turn to Medicaid for insurance, Rachel Rubin on how the coronavirus pandemic is shifting the conversation on government-run healthcare.
So Medicaid is a program for low-income people, the health insurance. It's federally and state-run. And so right now, as people lose their jobs, and if they lose their health insurance, people are going to turn to Medicaid to make sure that they still have health coverage and they're still able to feel like if they get sick, that they can go to the emergency room, go to the doctor, and make sure that those visits are covered. Over the past 10 years, Medicaid has been a huge political issue.
Battles over whether to expand Medicaid coverage under the federal health care law are still playing out in a number of states this summer.
It's been something that has a lot of politics around it. Republicans have wanted for decades to put in block grants, which would stop Medicaid's open-ended financing and instead give defined lump sum payments to states. They say it would help states better control their healthcare costs, would make Medicaid more fiscally sustainable. And then Democrats' arguments are going to be that that would cut people off the program. So it historically has been having a lot of politics around it.
Now there's the coronavirus pandemic, which has healthcare right at the center of it. How has that changed the politics around Medicaid?
It's really interesting because Medicaid is expanding right now, and that's because millions of people are losing their jobs and losing their insurance that was tied to their jobs. Meanwhile, conservatives have historically cheered President Donald Trump's moves to rein in Medicaid spending. And so right now, states are being required to spend more money on their Medicaid programs because more and more people are enrolling.
So that's got to put conservative lawmakers in a tough spot, right? Have you spoken to any about how, if at all, this is changing their thinking about the program?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to Senator Bill Cassidy, a Louisiana Republican who authored an Obamacare replacement plan back in 2017 that included changes to Medicaid as well as Obamacare at large. And what he said is essentially that there will be an opportunity to review big changes to the healthcare program after the pandemic. I mean, he did acknowledge that when people are under duress, they don't really like change, but when things are going better, then they have a little bit more comfort level with change. So, you know, the question is some of these long-term conservative goals could come back again post-pandemic and be talked about more post-pandemic.
So even though more people are on Medicaid right now and the program's expanding, Republicans might see it as a temporary roadblock. And once we hopefully emerge from the pandemic, it'll be back to the same politics as before.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there are conservatives in the Republican Party who are going to continue to support some of those changes. And it'll be kind of a question to see if all conservatives continue to support Medicaid block grants, work requirements, if the pandemic changes the debate around Medicaid at all. But I think what we can say is kind of the historic Democrat versus Republican position on this will likely remain, which is Republicans want to give states more flexibility over their program and have a more limited role of the federal government in this. And so kind of what that looks like could be slightly altered, but that kind of fundamental debate, I think we can expect to continue to see.
What about voters? Because there have been some recent votes to expand Medicaid in red states, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we look first at Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a very deep red state, and at the end of June, its voters approved a referendum to expand Medicaid.
Medicaid expansion passes in Oklahoma by just 6,500 votes.
It was a really narrow vote, but it was the first time that a healthcare issue had gone to the voters amid the pandemic.
State question 802 amends the Oklahoma Constitution to expand Medicaid coverage.
There have been other conservative states that have also approved Medicaid expansion, but that was not during a pandemic. And it was interesting because the campaign for the ballot initiative used sort of the same kind of historical messaging, which is give more money to rural hospitals. They said bring more federal dollars back to Oklahoma. And amid a pandemic, that message did resonate and voters passed it. So you're seeing the number of states that have not expanded continue to shrink.
What do you think that tells us about where the political conversation on Medicaid is going next?
I think you look at the history of Medicaid, Medicaid expansion, which was in Obamacare and was something that Republican governors and conservatives really railed against. And you've seen the politics around Medicaid expansion shift. We're not seeing Republican governors coming out and saying we need to roll back Medicaid expansion, but they'll say we need to tailor our Medicaid programs. But it's really interesting in light of the pandemic because we are seeing more and more people asking for government health assistance. And I think we'll continue to see how the economy plays out here. But as more people stay on Medicaid, there could very likely continue to be more support for expanding Medicaid.
Do you think that desire for more government aid, especially when it comes to healthcare, could bleed into what voters are thinking ahead of the November election?
I think healthcare is going to be prominent in the election. The coronavirus crisis obviously will as well, but healthcare and the coronavirus are enmeshed together because people are seeking out care when they feel sick and they want to make sure that they are able to do so and that they will be able to be covered for that and not have thousands of dollars out of pocket. And we also have to look at how Democrats are messaging. They really have pounced on President Donald Trump's brief in the Supreme Court in support of overturning Obamacare. And so that is going to play out. And Republicans do not have like one consensus plan for what Obamacare repeal would look like. We saw that in 2017, and that is still the case now. And we're seeing Democrats message that.
Rachel Rubine, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks for your time.
Also today, Democrats are slamming President Trump's decision to commute the prison sentence of his longtime political advisor, Roger Stone. Stone had been convicted on 7 felony counts, including lying to Congress and witness intimidation in an effort to thwart investigations into Russian interference in the 2016 election. On Friday, Trump commuted his 40-month prison sentence just days before Stone was set to head to prison, a decision House Intelligence Chair Adam Schiff told ABC is an affront to the rule of law.
It shouldn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican. This should be offensive to you if you care about the rule of law and you care about justice.
In its statement announcing the commutation, the White House criticized Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia probe, which Stone's conviction stemmed from, and said that he would never have been prosecuted if Mueller had not been appointed. And the state of Florida has hit a grim milestone. On Sunday, it shattered the national record for a state's largest single-day spike in coronavirus cases. According to Florida health officials, 15,299 people tested positive. There are some caveats with the number, though. The state received more than 135,000 results from people who've never been tested before, and the positivity rate of new infections was 11.25%, which is at least a two-week low for the state. This comes as deaths from coronavirus have been rising across the U.S., especially in the South and West. In Florida, authorities reported 514 deaths over the last week, an average of 73 per day. 3 weeks ago, the state was averaging 30 a day. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you're hearing, you can help us out by leaving a rating and review and by telling a friend about the show. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.